Hard touring Widespread Panic are back with a new album called Earth to America that they recorded in the Bahamas with legendary engineer-producer Terry Manning, who got his start in Memphis working with Stax and later recorded ZZ Top and recently even Shakira. I teased the band about roughing it in the Bahamas at Manning's studio.
Well, you can get a breath of fresh air by walking out of the studio and look at the ocean right there.
Wow.
Pretty much sums it up as far as the locale.
Right. And what's it, why did you want to work with him? I mean, I guess there are many, many reasons, but just in particular.
Well, we were looking to, we were planning to go someplace. Like a lot of times we talk about like going to Jamaica or something like that. And but Compass Point was that was a real possibility because there was a good studio there.
Right.
And Terry was, David worked with Terry before, and so we put our trust in that everything was going to be okay.
And it worked out. I mean, the album sounds great. Did you do writing there, or did you have a bunch of stuff with you?
We pretty much worked this stuff out over the last year on the road. But Terry really just, he came in as an outside influence and immediately became one of us, and it just made it really easy to work on the arrangements. They all seemed to, any changes and nips and tucks and changes we made happened really naturally, and he was involved in that. But I think we're all pretty much looking forward to getting the chance to write some with him,
maybe
in the future.
Wow, that sounds good. Now, I don't know if it's too big a thing to attempt first off, but we have just been loving Second Skin, and I just love it if you would be able to kind of explain what this song means to the band and what the Second Skin is to you guys.
When we were taking some time off, Dave and our good friend Jerry Joseph had another gig going called Stockholm Syndrome, and they did some writing together, and and Second Skin came about out of that coupling. And I'm looking, just to make sure I'm saying this right, so I'm looking at Dave for recognition here. Dave, when we got back together and started jamming, Dave said to Jerry, well, you know, as far as lyrics go, like what kind of stuff does JB like to sing about where I would embrace it and not be freaked out?
Yeah, it was an experiment to write with someone for someone else.
Right.
And having known JB as long as I have, there were some concepts that we knew we should stay away from. And then there were some other things that I knew that he felt comfortable about singing because I've heard him say in the past, and I'm going to look at you for this one, that you never really wanted to sing about fiction. You know, you always kind of wanted to be able to put yourself into the song and imagine yourself in that experience so you can sing it from your heart. And one of these sort of repetitive themes was always the idea of rebirth, and also how that applies in nature, you know, like a snake shedding its skin, as well as the sort of larger concept of reincarnation. And so we just sort of hunkered down and wrote this song and some others and made a disc. And when we reconvened, I handed them over. I gave one to JB. I gave one to JoJo. And a couple of the songs on it seemed to interest them. And it was really cool. Having John want to sing these, it's a great sort of tip of the hat that this experiment did kind of work, of writing for someone else.
And they were nice to let me get in there. And with the way, you know, when the words are coming through, you'll get some imagery on your own through, you know, your own filter. And then nothing was gospel at that point. They would not be offended if I tweaked some words and rhyming schemes or anything like that where it felt comfortable with the way I was seeing what was going down.
Absolutely. Rule number one is we weren't going to get offended if he wanted to change something to suit himself.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm not offended when I change my own stuff, so
why should we be?
I love it. This is Widespread Panic interview and group therapy session today.
So. We've really had a breakthrough here.
I think so. Well,
that's it.
Let's take a break.
Well, can you do a version of that for us?
You got about 12 minutes?
You bet.
Okay.
Dreaming.
whisper the walk you walk. Magic and glory. Is it just flesh from chalk? Skin to lose. Come now, this is your second skin. Surround, this is your second skin. This is a love inside.
And we could go on and on like that, but that's pretty much how that song is.
Sometimes I wish you would. That's great. That is Second Skin. Widespread Panic are playing live for us today, and that's the one that begins, well, not that version, but another version that begins Earth to America, the new album. One of the things I neglected to mention at the start is something else pretty momentous happened for you guys this year. In February was the 20th anniversary of your first gig. How did you figure out what was your first gig? What did it constitute?
It actually wasn't really the first gig. It was that anniversary, as extraneous as we may consider it to be, is important to us simply because it marks when Todd's first gig with the band, Todd Nance, our drummer.
Okay.
It's where we felt like Mike and JB had been playing together for a long time. I came into the fold, you know.
We
after
went
a
through
while,
about seven drummers.
Went through about seven drummers that just, they didn't get it. And then Todd came in, and I guess we maybe rehearsed for about an hour, right, Todd?
Nobody showed up.
No one but Todd showed up for the first rehearsal. And he didn't hate us for that, so we played a gig, and that's really what it was. It doesn't seem like it's been that long.
No, I would, you know, but now your first albums, I guess your first seven were on Capricorn, and something else happened this past year or so was Phil Walden, who was the founder of that label, died. Was he involved with signing? Was he involved with the label when you guys signed on?
With Capricorn?
Yeah.
Oh, he was the label.
He was the label, yes.
Yeah, and you know, he was our guy. Mm-hmm. He and his son were that was their vision to rejuvenate things, and we happened to be right there, and we're lucky that they were excited about us, because you know that was a good gig.
They weren't at first. Remember when Phil came to see us in Nashville and sat through the gig, and then when he told us what he thought, he put it by saying, "It's a big country."
Oh, yeah.
Meaning that we better get out there and tour some more. But about 2 years later, the record did come out.
Yeah.
And the label happened.
Now, what was his thoughts on it? His thoughts was, this is a great touring band that's got its roots in the same place as all the music I've been involved with? Or what did he say about it?
You guys need greening.
And reading Phil Walden's mind, that'd be a whole different
thing. That's true.
He said, we're trying to do something here.
He did say it. Yeah. I don't know, but, you know, if they like you, then I like you.
Oh, that's great. God, did he used to tell stories about his past?
Oh, sure. We could wind him up. I mean, he had a lot of great stories, and I hope he wrote them all down, because there's a lot of music history, a lot of R&B and soul and southern rock.
Widespread Panic are our guests today on the Cafe, and we were talking a little bit about Terry Manning, who's the producer of this album, and I was reading that a guitar he had something to do with the way Ribs and Whiskey ends up sounding on the disc. Is there a story behind that?
I think it was the first night we went in and started doing some tracking and messing around, and we were on our way out the door, and he said, "Hey, I got... here, let me show you this." And he had this little closet.
The vault, as it were.
And he pulls this thing out, and he goes, "Hey, check this out. This is one of Robert Johnson's resonator guitars, Dobro."
Whoa.
And you know, of course, we said,
"Liar."
Yeah, liar.
Prove it.
And he's like, "I got this. I've had it for, I don't know, umpteen, you know, 20 years or something. It's like... And I've never tuned it." And I sat down, and because I messed with the Dobro a little bit, you know, I got to play it. And the thing was in tune with itself. And it had a certain tuning that we use on a song that we put together like 15 years ago, but we'd never recorded. And JoJo had mentioned, "Hey, why don't we do that song?" I said, "It's an old song. Let's just do new stuff." But then that was kind of like
it was an omen.
It's like, what do you do? And all of a sudden, I got to play Robert Johnson's guitar and do that track. And then JoJo, man, tell him about the keyboard thing.
I got to play Robert Johnson's piano.
And Sonny went out with Robert Johnson's little lady.
Well, okay. Let me.
Let that one sink in a bit, didn't you?
I figured that wasn't true, but I'm really trying to wrap myself around this guitar. How did he. Wait, you know, what? A certificate of authenticity? I mean, how do you know that?
There is no certificate of authenticity, but, I mean, Terry's a pretty truthful guy, and he was in the Memphis, Mississippi area for a long time, and he knows a lot of the old Delta blues men. So, you know, as far as we can tell, he has done thorough fact-checking. Is there a certificate?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But is it maybe as close? You know, it belonged to him and was played by him, and
yeah. Heck,
you know. Where is rock and roll without myth?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, is there a story about the piano, or is that just a...
No, actually, we were doing the piano track on a Studio Grand, and, you know, I was just like, "Terry, man, is there any beat-up old out-of-tune upright for this track?" And he's like, "Well, there's something, you know, that some church revival left behind in a field, you know, out back, and..." So I was like, "Let's check it out." So, you know, it was perfectly out of tune, and it still worked. So we just, you know, Sam and Billy and everybody and Paul just grabbed it, dragged it over to the, you know, right outside of the studio. And
it was on the other side of a barbed wire fence. Wow.
All I remember is I had to play it in a different key, which was kind of fun. But
it was perfectly in tune with with nothing. But no, that sounds great. Well, obviously, you know, that's not here, but can you do a version of Ribs and Whiskey?
Yeah.
We can certainly try.
There you go, Ribs and Whiskey. Widespread Panic are playing live for us today, and that's another one that's... you will find the Dobro version on Earth to America, the new album from Widespread Panic. Now, when I talked to you guys last, it was very shortly after Michael Hauser, for people who don't know the band, the founding member of the band, really passed away. And I would think having that period of time off, that would also give you a chance to come back together as this band with George and was that ever part of the equation in taking the time off?
Well, we were planning to take time off before Mikey got ill, and just like we were planning to go do an album in a remote place, but you know, those circumstances just didn't lend themselves to doing that right at that time. So this was just something that we were just a little behind schedule on. So, you know, we'd been planning to take a year off, but then when Mikey got sick, it's like, you know, he just wanted to play it out as long as he could play.
Right.
And that was pretty cool to be a part of and watch, because he played till he really couldn't do anymore. Last note was... That was really cool.
Well, folks, do what you want while you can. Definitely.
That's right.
Well, thanks a lot, and good luck on the never-ending tour, and thanks for making us stop here.
Well, thanks for having us back.
Widespread Panic, our guests, and we'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe. Once again, thanks to Widespread Panic for setting up and playing live. It's always great to hear that band live. It's what they do best. And thanks for the new album, which is called Earth to America. If you're looking for it, you can find it at our World Cafe CD store on your web browser at worldcafe.npr.org.